Anchorette's wrists were bound, as were her legs, and a little splash of water came over the edge of the canoe as it hurtled along the river. She heard the roar of the falls coming as she gritted her teeth and fought against her bonds. The ropes on her wrists were beginning to give, loosening under the strain and pressure of her movements. She'd been trained at the Poisoner School to escape bonds, but never had she needed to do so against the urgent rush of dwindling time. The canoe was heading toward the falls. The king's brother wanted her dead and had arranged a midnight arrest, a false trial, and now had taken on the role of executioner himself as well. The image of his face leering at her helplessness was scalded into her mind.
"My wife is dead because of you,"
he'd rasped with vengeance in his voice.
"You failed, Anchorette. Now embrace my revenge."
She could still remember the sour smell of wine on his breath. It had made her want to vomit. Jerking hard one last time, she freed her wrists and quickly unraveled the ropes. The confinement of the canoe hedged her in, but she managed to sit up just enough to see the stunning sanctuary of Our Lady, its tall spires lit by torches in the night. It sat on an island in the midst of a churning river at the head of the falls. The palace was on her left, dark, foreboding. The king was visiting the fortress of Dundrennan in the north. He was days away, too far away to learn about her plight, too far to save her. The river was ink black, the sky devoid of moon but straddled with stars. There were no cheering crowds lining the bridge, watching in macabre fascination as another victim of justice was thrown into the waters, a life paid in tribute to the fountain. She started working on her legs, realizing the futility of escaping. She had a minute left at the most. Even if she had oars and paddles, it would be an impossible labor to steer toward the sanctuary in time. Her heart was pounding in her chest with the dread anticipation of coming death. The plunge was just beyond the sound of the roar. Still, she fought to untie her legs. The need to survive at any cost drove her. Soon the bonds were loose, but it was too late. The boat began to shake as the violent surge of waters nearly upended her. A childhood memory of jumping off a massive boulder into a river came spurting into her mind. And then the void opened up before her. The waves acting as a catapult as they shoved the canoe into open air. Falling, falling, falling.
She awoke with a gasp, as she always did at that part of the dream. It was too terrible even for sleep. The room was predominantly dark, save for the fat stub of a candle she'd left burning on the table. The curtains on the bed blocked most of the light, and she sat up, damp with sweat, her heart still pounding at the memory. She'd dreamed it a dozen times since it had happened, and yet, each time, she felt the terror anew. The night King Eridur's brother had tried to murder her. Then she heard the footsteps marching up the stairs to the tower where her room lay. The person made no attempt to hide the sound of their approach. The Poisoner's Tower in the Palace of King Fountain was her private lair, her peaceful domain. There were no servants who came to light the brazier for warmth or to clean her linens. All the ways leading up to it had been secured long ago, and only the espion tunnels led there now. The person approaching was making noise deliberately. They were probably afraid she might kill them. Anchorette parted the curtain and slid her legs off the bed. Her stomach cramped painfully, and it took a moment for it to subside. At the top of the bedstead were some small shelves that held some of her little treasures of memory. From one, she removed a vial with a screwed-on cap and quickly twisted it. She took a little swallow of the ichor, cringing at its awful flavor before it slithered down her throat. It would ease the pain in her stomach. She rested a moment, clutching the bottle to her middle, and then put the cap back on and returned it to its place.